Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for consideration today is found written in Ezekiel the prophet, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 14. And you may be seated for the reading of the text. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." And he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." So far the text. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, dear friends, today we've arrived at the third major festival of the church year, Pentecost, the two others being Easter and Christmas. Do you know that Pentecost is actually the oldest of the three? Its origin can be traced all the way back to the days of the Old Testament when it was celebrated in connection with the grain harvest 50 days after Passover. In fact, that's what the word Pentecost means, 50th. It was also called the Festival of the Harvest because it was the day when God's people offered the first fruits of the wheat harvest to the Lord at the temple, similar to our Thanksgiving Day. Of course, the most notable Pentecost was the one that occurred 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the day when the Savior kept his promise to pour out his Holy Spirit on his disciples, enabling them to preach in different tongues with boldness and courage to that vast crowd of people that had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost from all over the Roman Empire in languages that they had never studied. As a result of the Spirit's work, as we just heard, 3,000 souls were harvested into the Holy Christian Church. And that was the first fruits of the great harvest which the Spirit has been gathering into the church by the preaching of the gospel ever since. So on this Pentecost festival, we want to lift up our hearts in worship of the Holy Spirit. We want to say, praise be to the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, the all-powerful animator of our souls, for taking our souls, which were bone dry, altogether lifeless, and breathing new spiritual life into them by the power of the gospel. So who was this Ezekiel, the prophet, who wrote the book from which our text is drawn? Well, he was one of the 10,000 prominent Jews who was deported as a slave to Babylon by the invading armies of the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar about 600 years B.C., and whom the Lord then called to preach his word to the exiles, his fellow Jewish countrymen who were living in that foreign land. And there were two parts to the message that God called Ezekiel to preach to his fellow exiles there in Babylon. The first was that those who had turned away from the Lord in unbelief, given themselves over to idolatry, ignored God's call to repentance, would be totally rejected by him. And those who were still living back in Palestine, because Ezekiel was just the first waves of exiles, of the prominent Jews that the king of Babylon had deported, the whole nation was going to be deported completely, and its remaining population deported as slaves to that foreign country. That was Ezekiel's first part of his message. The second, mingled in with this message of divine wrath, he proclaimed sweet gospel to sustain the sagging hopes of the little remnant of faithful believers, letting them know that after 70 years, the Lord was going to bring them back to Palestine and keep the promise of a Savior he had made to their forefather Abraham. We want to pay attention, dear friends, to the interesting way that the Lord describes what he was going to do for that little believing remnant there in Babylon. We are told here how he caused Ezekiel to see a very spectacular vision in which he led him into a valley that was covered, strewn with bones of dead people. And he told Ezekiel to walk back and forth among all of these dry bones, to give him a sense of just how many there were and how terribly dry they were. And then he asked Ezekiel, what do you think? Can these dry bones live? God was wanting to picture what the believing remnant there in Babylon were feeling at that time, living hundreds of miles away from their homeland, their capital, Jerusalem, soon to be ransacked, the temple utterly destroyed, living, the whole nation, under the thumb of a cruel pagan king. They were thinking, what hope? What hope do we ever have of our prospects improving and living again in our Palestinian homeland? I mean, how will our dreams of a Savior ever be brought to fruition? A Savior from heaven to redeem us. How will that ever be realized? We've become like dead people, dead bones. No prospect of our sorry lot being changed. Certainly don't deserve that it be changed, given the fact that our nation has foolishly rejected the Lord of grace in foolish unbelief. Let's consider the application of this part of the vision, the meaning that it has for our lives as exiles, living in the foreign country of an unbelieving world. The truth the Lord is presenting to us through the dry bones vision, the beginning part of it, is our sorry spiritual condition when we were first born into this sinful world. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were all like an unclean thing, our righteousnesses like filthy rags. We all, as the prophet Isaiah said, we all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The question that comes then is, can these dry bones live? Can hearts that are dead to God ever be animated? Is it possible for spiritual vital signs to be detected again, like love for God, trust in Him as Savior, eagerness to serve and worship Him and live our lives for Him? The answer is no. If the dry bones would be left to themselves without any intervention on the part of an all-powerful, all-gracious God. As we just confessed in the third article of the Creed, I know that I cannot by my own reasoning or effort believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, nor come to Him. We cannot bring ourselves to repentance. We cannot ever enjoy a living, loving relationship with our God, our Heavenly Father, left to ourselves, any more than a pile of bones lying on the floor of Death Valley can resuscitate themselves. The joyous message of Pentecost is that what's impossible for us is possible with God. God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made alive with Christ by grace and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember also what Jesus said to that group of unbelieving men who wanted to kill Him. Because He claimed to be God, He told them, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And I tell you the truth, the time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And He wasn't talking just about judgment day, what will happen when the dead are. He was talking about right now, through the gospel, people made spiritually alive through the preaching of the word. And that's the heavenly truth the Lord is picturing for us in the latter part of Ezekiel's vision as he walked in the middle of the valley strewn with brittle, super dry skeleton parts. The Lord said to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says to the bones. I'll make breath enter you and you'll come to life. I'll attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord. And when Ezekiel then preached God's word, it's when he heard the rattling sound, bones coming together, reassembling themselves. He saw tissue matter, ligaments and sinews and skin covering these bones. And when Ezekiel, at the Lord's further instruction, ordered the wind, to start blowing and breathe life into them, in came the wind and the bodies of all those formerly dead people came alive and stood on their feet, a vast army. Sounds like the stuff of science fiction, like something Hollywood would come up with to entertain people, Pirates of the Caribbean. We recognize that what God was picturing is not something fictional or imaginary, but very, very real. The splendid truth that the seemingly dead hopes of that people of God living there in Babylon, people of Israel, were going to be revived. And he'd take their nation, given up for dead, make it alive again by returning them to their homeland and causing the promise that he had given, the Lord of life being born at Bethlehem, have Jesus live and die and be raised again for the life of the world. And Pentecost, the 150 days after Easter, that was like a beautiful fulfillment of all this too, wasn't it? All the unbelieving people, many of whom were responsible for Jesus' death, they hated Jesus, didn't want to have anything to do with him, got transformed by the Holy Spirit into people who loved him and trusted in him and found in him the highest joy and delight of their souls. And we're told at the end of Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number, to that 3,000 daily, many more who were being saved. And dear friends, the same wondrous miracle of the Spirit breathing life into the spiritually dead has continued to happen since that day. We are living examples of that today. Holy Spirit has blessed you with a new heart, blessed you with love for Christ, given you the desire to praise and serve him, worship him, and live your life for him in gratitude for the blessing of the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting that he obtained for you. In this godless world, it's still like a spiritual wasteland littered with the debris of the spiritually lifeless, so evident in all the evils and godlessness in our society, people living in spiritual darkness. He shined in our hearts with his precious light so that we, Jesus Christ, know aright, enabling us to cling to our Savior whose blood has bought us, who again to our homeland has brought us. And it deserves to be stressed and emphasized on this Pentecost festival, be reminded how the Lord accomplished this miracle. Well, just as in Ezekiel's vision, it happened by the power of him preaching, proclaiming God's word to those bones. Just as on Pentecost, the people came to know their spiritual need, what they had done, that if the Lord would mark their iniquity, they could not stand. They would be lost in hell forever. And when they cried out, "What shall we do?" the Holy Spirit then used the word of the gospel to apply the healing gospel to their hearts, to work faith in Christ. So too, the Holy Spirit has performed the same miracle by the same word, using the law as a mirror to show us how dead, spiritually dead by nature we are, and the gospel to lead us to find refuge and life in the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, to rejoice in his forgiving love and the life that he obtained for us. Also deserves to be stressed and emphasized that the Holy Spirit continues to use the gospel not only to bring us to faith, to give us life, but to keep us alive spiritually. When we get winded, spiritually speaking, when we get weary, out of breath in our fight against those mighty foes that are arrayed against us, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, the Holy Spirit continues to use the same gospel to keep us animated. You know that the words in the Old Testament and in the New Testament for spirit are ruach and pneuma. There also another meaning in the dictionary is, in addition to spirit, is wind or breath. And pneuma, the Greek word for spirit, is where we get our English word pneumonia, for example, with a P on the front of it that's silent. The illness that causes people to have problems with their breath, with their breathing. It's also, this word pneuma is where we get the word pneumatic from, like when you go to the bank and you see the drive-thru, that cylinder that goes through the network of tubes with by compressed air. So whenever you see, when you go to the bank to drive up and you see that aura wind chime and you hear it sounding, you can be reminded of this, of the work of the Holy Spirit, of what He has done for you. When you're feeling out of breath spiritually, stressed out on account of pressure related to work, family, health challenges, going to be through that gospel that the Holy Spirit will continue to keep you spiritually animated, blessing you with true joy, comfort in your troubles, energy for serving Christ, ability to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him all the way to your heavenly homeland. So praise be to God the Holy Spirit, the all-powerful animator of our souls. Let us adore Him for His gracious work of taking dry bones like us and blessing us with life through faith in Jesus, until finally we're blessed with that eternal life in heaven that is to come. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.